So having studied about the technique and the benefits of meditation, now we are concentrating on the goal of meditation. And the goal of meditation is to go inward and discover the presence of that Supreme Consciousness, which they call as Brahman, the Supreme Consciousness, the All-Pervading. Who is that? Where can I find that? How can I discover it? So they are giving pointers about that Supreme Lord, the Consciousness, the Brahman, that is the all-pervading reality, that is formless, shapeless, qualityless, colorless, cannot be seen, heard, smelled, tasted, touched, thought of, contemplated, felt. So that which is so difficult to know or understand, the Upanishads are making it explicable to us so that we can understand that which is beyond understanding. So by giving us pointers or the direction in which to think, they are leading us to that highest reality. Like the teacher in the commentary talks about that if I know A and B in geometry and they say, well, C is, you know, A and B are in one straight line, C is 3 inches to the left and 4 inches diagonally from A and B. So from A I draw a line 3 inches and then from B I draw a diagonal line 4 inches, and where they meet, that is C. C is not connected to A or B, but by knowing A and B, I can locate C in geometry. So similarly, by these pointers, we are able to locate the unknown through the known. Through some of these things we know, but they take us to the unknown. And that is the total reality that is everywhere, that is within and without. Everything is that. And I am also a manifestation of that. Everything, in fact, is that entity, but we do not see it or know it. So the teacher is making it easy for us to understand or know it or experience it. It can be experienced as I within me, but not I this body, mind or intellect, but I that spirit, that consciousness, that is my higher nature. We have talked about that. So we'll do verse number 20 on page 72. Anoraniyan ahameva tadvat mahanaham vishvamaham vichitram puratanoham purushohamisho hiranmayoham shivarupamasmi. So I'll translate it, and then these are the various qualities of the infinite which I have listed on the board also. So anoraniyan, it is smaller than the smallest. It is subtler than the subtlest. So smaller than the smallest. Tadvat, and also bigger than the biggest. So what? How can it be smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest? Yes, it is both. Then it is the entire universe. Vishwamaham, and it is amazing. It is wonderful. It is spectacular. Purut vichitram. Vishwamaham vichitram. Puratanoham, it is the most ancient one. It is the Purusha. Purusha is the spirit. As we know, the universe is made of the combination of matter and spirit, what we call as Prakriti and Purusha. So it is the spirit. And he says, Aham Ishaha, and I am the Lord. I am the Lord of this universe. Hiranmayoham, and it is effulgent. It is brilliant. It is not dull, but it is brilliant. It is on page 72. And Shiva Rupam Asmi, and I am of the nature of auspiciousness. Everything that is good, that is joyous, that is auspicious, I am. So now let us go over each one of these qualities. So the first quality is it is subtler than the subtlest, it is smaller than the smallest, and bigger than the biggest. So how can it be both? Either it is small or it is big. Make up your mind. Tell me clearly. Don't confuse me. You know, tell me clearly. But sometimes clear, blunt telling may not be good. That reminds me of a story. So this man calls his younger brother. This man was out of town. He had been traveling for a few days. So he calls his younger brother and he says, "How's everything?" And he starts talking and he says, "How's my cat?" He says, "Brother, your cat is dead." He said, "Why did you have to tell me so bluntly, my cat is dead? That was a dear cat. I have had her for 8 years. And you just straight away told me it's dead. It hurts me. You know, I'm shocked. You should have said it more, you know, politely. Don't just say bluntly." "So what do you mean politely? Cat is dead." He said, "But that's not the way to say it. You should have said, we accidentally left the door open, so the cat went out the door, and then it climbed up the roof. Okay, then we had to call the firemen, and the firemen came with a ladder, and they were trying to rescue the cat. The cat got scared when the firemen reached, and she jumped from the roof, broke her neck, and died. So you should have told it politely, not just bluntly told it." Said, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry." So then he asked some more. He said, "How is mom?" He said, "Oh, she's up on the roof and the firemen are trying to bring her down." He said, "He's telling it polite." So here also we are telling him, tell us clearly, you know, whether it's smaller than the smallest or bigger. Like if I tell you something is smaller than the smallest, it's like an atom. Ah, okay, that I understand. And then I say bigger than the biggest, it's like bigger than an elephant, bigger than the whole world, bigger than Earth, universe. Okay, that I understand. But how can the same thing be smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest? So what they mean is everything is that. It's like space. Now if I ask you, between each cell of my body, there are 4 billion cells. Between each cell, there is space. Cells are not totally, you know, there's little cells, and between each cells, which is a microscopic, when you look with an electron microscope, you see space. But space is smaller than the smallest, and at the same time, it is bigger than the biggest, because all the planets, the stars, the moon, everything is there, and the space extends way beyond all the, you know, trillions of miles. So how space can be bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest? It is even in every cell, it is in every atom. Even in atom, there are protons, neutrons, and electrons, and there is space in between. So just as space is subtler than the subtlest and bigger than the biggest, so also this consciousness, which is even bigger than space, it extends even beyond where space is not, and also it is smaller, subtler than space. So that is this consciousness. And then he says, Vishwam. It is the universe. The entire universe is this consciousness. Everything that you see. Because everything God alone was, this consciousness or Brahman or the Supreme alone was, from whom came the whole universe. So the universe is nothing but an expression of that consciousness. And then they used words like amazing, wonderful, great, stupendous, and incomprehensible. These are the words that are used because we cannot understand it. We cannot describe it. We cannot fathom it. It is so amazing is the only word. When you think about it, all the wonders, I always think about the Halley's Comet. It's amazing. Halley's Comet comes once every 86 years. Exactly, they can predict when it will come. It comes, passes by Earth, and then goes for 86 years. It travels trillions of miles, thousands of miles per hour. Keeps traveling. And where does it go? Nobody knows. And then after 86 years, 43 years of traveling, it turns around and then comes back again, right to the same spot in the whole universe, right to Earth. How does it know where to go, where to come? Who commands it? It's mind-boggling. And the moment you hear that, you say it's amazing, it's wonderful. It's the more you think about this universe, the more you get shocked of who is this great intelligence that made it and created it and made it move and makes everything move, and how even our brain, how complex it is, and you know, and every part of the body, how it functions, every planet is in its place, nothing collides with anything, stars, everything, who maintains it, who supports it, you know? How is it that the earth is like that and there is ocean at the bottom, the, you know, the Indian Ocean and, you know, the Africa, the Cape of Good Hope? How does the water not fall down? How is the water held? You know, water should fall, right? If there is a globe, there's it doesn't. What happens to it? Who holds the water? It's amazing. You know, if you have a ball and you have water in the bottom, it will drip. But in the earth, nothing drips. It's marvelous. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. How this? The more you think about it, the more your mind gets boggled and amazed. Then he says it is the ancient one. Ancient one means always was there. Even the Bible says God alone was, and then he created the universe, you know, in 7 days, and then the universe will be around for billions of years. Then eventually all the stars will lose their brilliance, all the sun will die out, and the planets all will end, everything will end, and become a great big black hole, and that will become nothing. And then again the creation will start. So after every billions of years, this creation starts. But who is the creator? That is the ancient one. That always was there. Maybe we didn't know about it, but even if I don't know about it, does not mean God is not there. Like they gave the example of gravity. Now, gravity was always there. Gravity was always there. You know, the planets were maintained and everything, and then the apples were falling. Nobody knew or thought about it. And then one day the apple fell. And a guy named Newton, he said, why did the apple fall down? Why didn't it go up? Fell from the tree. And he picked up the apple and he was thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking. Why did the apple fall? Why didn't it go up? So then he went to his friends. You know, why did the apple fall down? He said, what kind of a stupid question is that? Apples always fall down. Your father's time it fell, your great-grandfather's time it fell, even before your grandfather it fell. Why are you asking this ridiculous question? Just eat the apple, it looks nice and red. Eat before it gets rotten. Eat, yes, why are you wasting? No. I want to know why the apple fell. So he goes to the school teacher, he goes to the college professor, he goes to the dean of the university. Why did the apple fall? Nobody knew. They said, we don't know, but don't waste your time. But he kept on thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking. And finally, he came to this theory of gravitation. So gravitation was always there, even before Newton discovered it or thought about it. But he finally gave us a scientific explanation of why apple falls, doesn't go up in the sky. So similarly, this ancient Lord, the Supreme, was always there. It is only when we think about it, we can reach that conclusion. Just as Newton had to think about it, contemplate, ask a lot of people, do research. So similarly, we have to investigate who is this ancient one that is the creator of this universe. Then it says, Purushaha, I am the spirit. So as we said, what is creation? Matter and spirit, what they call Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti is matter and Purusha is spirit. So we are a combination of spirit and matter. That's why they say Om, the consciousness is spirit. Everything else is matter. The body, the mind, the intellect, the objects, emotions, thoughts, the perceiver, feeler and thinker. They are all inert. They are all inert matter. They have no intrinsic life of their own. It is the consciousness that illumines it, that gives it life. Now, how can matter and spirit combine together? One is alive, one is inert. One is permanent, one is temporary. One is the nature of brilliance, one is of the nature of darkness, ignorance. How can the two combine and create this body? It's unthinkable. It's like the example they gave in the scriptures. It's like you take an iron ball, black iron ball, which is heavy, and it is black and it is cold. and you put it in a fire, there's a blazing fire, you put it in the fireplace and leave it for a few minutes, maybe 20, 15, 20 minutes, and that ball becomes red hot. It becomes so hot that it starts glowing. That black ball now looks red, it is glowing. The black ball has become red. The cold ball has become hot. How did it become? With the fire. The fire gave its properties to the ball. The fire is hot. The fire is red. And it gave its properties to the ball. Now the ball appears hot, appears red. And you take it, you can't even pick it up. You have to have tongs to take it. Your hands will burn. And when you take it out, then you see for a while the ball which was black is now red and shiny and so hot, which was cold. And then slowly it loses its heat and slowly the ball again becomes black. So similarly, we are the inert matter of consciousness. We are intrinsically, this body has no life of its own. The brain has no life. It is only when the spirit, the consciousness, functions through the mind and intellect, it lends its properties of consciousness, of life to the body, just as the fire lends its properties to the ball. So that is the Purushah. And then he says, I am the Lord. So the Supreme is the Lord, which means that it is only in the presence of the Supreme that all of this is working. Everything is happening. If the Supreme was not there, this body, mind and intellect would not function. And every function of the body, of my, the function of my digestive system and my respiratory system and my nervous system and the manufacture of blood and the circulation of the heart and everything is happening under the control of the spirit, the Lord, the consciousness. Just as, to give an example, now the president is the one who decides what happens in Washington, D.C., and what happens with the various cabinets, you know, the Secretary of Defense, Education, Health, they all get their power from the president. The president is the one that gives, appoints them and gives them power, and they only function as long as the president wants them to function. Once the president doesn't like that person's job, he can get rid of him and get somebody else, or a CEO in a company where all the employees work at the direction of the CEO. Like, to give an example, the president has decided that he's going to visit an orphanage or an old man's home or a charitable home which is doing a lot of good work, you know, some charitable org, and he wants to give them an award because they have done great work. So he tells his chief of staff or his secretary, you know, in next week I want to visit this home and give them an award because they have done good work. After that, the president forgets about it, doesn't do anything. But then the secretary tells the Secret Service, you know, the president is going to go there next week, fix up a date and time and inform the media, and then make sure that when you go there, check it out, that everything is safe, you know, from where can the terrorists maybe attack. So they scout the whole area. Where will the president come from? Where will he stand? Where will his dais be? Where will the Secret Service stand so that he... And then where is, you know, the plane that he will land, how, which route he will take from the airport, which car, everything is, the car is flown ahead of time, you know, his bulletproof car. So everything is organized. And where did the Secret Service and all of them get the power? From the president. The president himself didn't do anything. The president just said, I'm going to go there next week on Wednesday. But then everything is taken care of. So similarly, the spirit itself does not do anything. But in the presence of the spirit, everything happens. We get our power from that, and then we function because of that. So that is called Ishah, the Lord. Then it is the effulgent one. What do we mean by effulgent one? Effulgent one means that which gives light to everybody, but which cannot be illumined, like the sun. Sun illumines everything, but can anything illumine the sun? No. I remember a story that there was this teacher, this monk, who was in a cave, and he had a few disciples, and they used to live in the cave and they used to meditate there and all. And in the morning when the sun would come out, then it was early morning, it was still dark in the cave. So he tells his disciple, can you go out and see if the sun has come out So we can all go for a walk and go to the river and take a bath. This monk is telling his student. So the student picks up a flashlight and he starts walking. So the teacher says, where are you going with the flashlight? He said, I'm going to go and see if the sun has come out or not. Now that's a foolish comment. You don't need a flashlight to see the sun. So similarly, the consciousness illumines everything, but like this light gets power from electricity. But can this electricity illumine? Can this bulb illumine electricity? No. Electricity illumines the bulb. The bulb cannot illumine electricity. So similarly, the consciousness illumines the body, mind, and intellect, but we cannot illumine that. We cannot know that. We can only become one with that. So that is called the effulgent one. And it is ever auspicious, ever joyous. Because where do the sorrows come? The sorrows don't come in the spirit. The sorrows come in the body. And the body gets old, body starts hurting, you get sorrow. Mind, if I get some sorrow, I lose somebody or somebody doesn't love me or something, then I get sorrow. Intellectually, if I have failure, if I have a business that didn't succeed, or I get fired from the job, or I become poor, so then I get sorrow. So the body can have sorrow, the mind can have sorrow, the intellect. But the spirit is ever joyful. So if you want to go beyond the sorrows of the body, mind, and intellect, identify with the spirit and always remind yourself, I am that supreme spirit, that supreme consciousness who is functioning through the body, mind, and intellect. And even when I drop this body, even when the body is gone, I will ever exist. I will never perish. This body will die. It's okay. I'll take a new body. Or if you don't believe in heaven or hell, you don't believe in rebirth, you say, okay, I'll be living one with Jesus or with the Lord. But I will never perish. This body will perish. So the moment you identify with the body, mind, or intellect, you get sorrows. The moment you identify with the spirit, you go beyond all sorrows. So that's why this I, which is this spirit, this consciousness, actually everything is that spirit, but we don't, not knowing it, we think ourselves to be this body, and that's where all the sorrows arise. So if you want to go beyond sorrow, just say, I am that supreme spirit. Everything is that. I means not only I, but he and she and he and the chair and the glass, everything is that. And what is the nature of that? It is smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. In fact, the whole universe is that. That's why the saints develop spontaneous love for all, because they say the whole universe is my beloved Lord. Everything is that. And it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's ancient, it was there even before time, even before the universe. And it is the spirit which illumines, which makes me walk and talk. And it is the Lord that is governing this whole body. Everything is not only this body, but the whole universe is so beautifully planned. You know, the way in fact, they can predict 5 years from now where the moon will be, where... That's how they could send the spacecraft into Pluto, because they knew that the spacecraft will take 8 years to reach Pluto. And in 8 years, where will Pluto be? You know, where? How could the scientists predict? Because they knew that the Pluto rotates once every whatever so many years. So after so many years and so many rotations, exact point they were able to locate 8 years ago. I mean, the scientist to think about it, but more is the one who made it so that it never changes its route. It always is precise. The Lord that governs all that, and it is the effulgent one. It is the one that gives light to everything, and it is joyful. So that is my nature. That, again and again, they say, I am that. Again, God is not somebody sitting in heaven or somebody sitting in Bethlehem or Mecca or Amritsar or somewhere. It is in my heart as life. And that one has to constantly remember, constantly meditate, constantly understand and apply. It should not be just a theoretical concept. Okay, I read it in the book. Okay, close it. Verse number 20 over. Now next week, verse number 21. But it is to be applied and understood as me. And that is very important. Without that, this knowledge is incomplete. Unless you apply that in your life, start living as the spirit, not just saying I am that spirit, but start living as that. Bring it into your daily life. Be unattached, be unaffected, be calm, be peaceful, and be loving and compassionate and all-inclusive. And those qualities have to be brought in us. The qualities of the Lord have to come in each and every one of us. That is the whole purpose of studying this book. I end here. Any questions, any comments?
So if you don't get it in this lifetime, come back and build some more? Is that...
Yeah, but the idea is to get it in this lifetime. You already know you are that. Then what is more to know? You already know that. All you have to do is just abide in that. Just be that and remind yourself constantly about it. Yeah, if you don't, yeah, you will get another chance. But rather than wait for it, I am that. You already know it.
Yeah,
the book has already told you that.
Yeah, but there's so many things that you know. How would you say? You don't comprehend it. All right, if you go against what you know you're wrong.
Right.
But you're not comprehending, you know, that everybody's one and...
Yeah, you're not abiding. You're not able to abide in that knowledge.
Yeah,
stay in that.
Yeah. How do you go from that to where you just... where you know it, then you begin to feel it and totally feel it. You just keep
right.
at it.
Yeah, you just keep at it. Who told you that you are a man or you are a human being? As a baby, you didn't know that. Right? But then slowly they told you, look, you are a man and your name is Bill and you're supposed to act like this, you're supposed to do like this. You don't crawl on the ground, you walk on two legs and then you think and they teach you, right? And slowly, slowly you become... So then you know, okay, I'm a human being, I'm Bill, I'm not a cat, I'm not supposed to meow, I'm supposed to speak English. You know, they teach you the language, and then they teach you mathematics, and then slowly, then you become an engineer, and then you start living like an engineer, making dams and making buildings, or, you know, whatever. So you started out by not knowing it, you started out as an innocent baby, you know, just born, but then over the years, you learn, and then you start... Okay, now I have become an engineer. So now you start living like an engineer. You know, you get a title of engineer, you build a house, you buy a house, and then somebody asks you, who are you? You say, I'm an engineer. I work for Chevron, or I work for GE or General Motors, and I build cars. And so slowly the knowledge comes, and then you start living that. And then anytime somebody in the middle of the night wakes you up, who are you? You say, I'm an engineer. What do? I build cars, or I build, you know, electric dams or electric power stations. So similarly, this knowledge, first I used to think I'm a ordinary human being, Anil or Bill, or that was my name. But now I'm told I am that spirit. And then I'm taught slowly, like you're taught you're an engineer. So you are taught this knowledge. And then you start practicing it, just as the engineer starts, you know, working in the field as an engineer. So I start functioning as the spirit. And what does that spirit is? That spirit is permanent, eternal. It is peaceful, like you said. It is loving. It is compassionate. It is sharing. It is unselfish. It is accepting all. So slowly you start developing those qualities, you know, of love and peace. And then I remind myself every day, I'm eternal and I'm peaceful. I tell myself every day, several times a day, just tell yourself, I'm eternal and I'm peaceful. And by peaceful, everything becomes there. I'm unattached, I'm unaffected, I am calm. Everything comes in that. And then eternal is I'm unchanging. Nothing happens to me. I don't die. I don't perish. I will never die. I will always live. This body may die, but I will. So these two words, if you just apply in your life, I'm eternal and I'm peaceful. And tell yourself all day, as often as you think about it. That will have a very profound effect on your psyche. And then slowly, slowly you start living that. And then when you encounter problems in the world or painful situations, Then you tell yourself, I am that spirit. I am unaffected by this. Let my body have the sorrow or the mind or the intellect. But I am unabove. So you slowly detach yourself, not out of not caring. It's not that you don't care. It's to develop an inner sense of peace and satisfaction and contentment. And as much as I can help others, I share, I help, I become loving and compassionate. But inside I am calm and peaceful. And as you practice it, it will come. Like you said, you are more calmer and more peaceful. So the more you listen, I think the one thing is to listen to the teachings. That's very important. Repeated listening. If you say, oh, I already heard it. I am that. Why do I need to come back to this class? And I used to think the same thing. But every time I listen to a teacher who comes, you know, the Swamis and the teachers, it strengthens this knowledge. The more I prepare and teach, it helps me because it strengthens in me that I am that. So teaching, it may or may not help you, but it helps me when I'm speaking. I'm being helped more than any of you. If you benefit, that's great. If you don't benefit, I am still benefiting. So the more you repeat to yourself, the more it becomes. And not mechanically, but actually experience it. I am peaceful. I am eternal. I am peaceful. Feel that inner peace, which we experience in meditation. From time to time, just close your... Today I had an extra hour in the afternoon. Thursday afternoons, I keep it light. And I went and sat for an hour, actually an hour in Hart Park. It was so beautiful. I sat under the tree with the river flowing. How the hour passed, I have no idea. It was... When I walked out of there, my mind was so quiet. You know, those trees are so beautiful. It's just a gorgeous, anything, any place in nature, any park you go, sit under a tree. It's most beautiful. It's most beautiful. There's a beautiful moon out, a crescent moon. It's so pretty when I walked in here. So just sit under the moon and see the beauty of that. So remind yourself, I am eternal. I am peaceful. I am eternal. I am peaceful. I am unchanging. I am permanent. And I am peaceful. I am peaceful. I am peace.
It doesn't matter, but I am fine. As long as I am fine, nothing is going to affect me.
Yeah, see, this is how you apply, you know, in your life. And as the more you think about it, the more you apply it, the more it clear. Actually, one of the greatest meditative exercises, which I practice almost every morning, is that I go out in my backyard like she does, but I close my eyes. And then I close my eyes and then I listen to the various birds and try to pinpoint 3-4 different sounds of the birds. There's one bird here, one here, one here, one here, and listen to the sounds and try to, you know, distinguish in my mind, you know, which bird is where. And sometimes a car goes by and okay, that sound too, you know, and so paying attention to the various sounds. And then also not only to the sound, but who is this consciousness that is making me listen? How is it that I'm able to listen? So pay attention to that inner effulgence, the inner brilliance, the light of consciousness, which is making me hear, which is making me see, which is making me... Then you may smell some flowers or feel the wind. And so become aware of your experiences. That's a very, very powerful meditative tool. You can apply that. Eyes closed. Body is relaxed. Breathe slow and deep. Pay attention to the breath. Pay attention to each part of the body and consciously relax. after having relaxed the body. Just watch your breath with full attention. Turn your attention to who is that is controlling the breath. Even when I am asleep, the breath goes on. The heart keeps pumping. Who is that which is the controller of this body, the Lord, the governor? Who is that is going out through the eyes to listen to the sounds of the birds chirping? Who is that is looking out through the eyes and watching the sunrise and the sunset and the moon? Who is that which is going out through the nose and smelling the flowers? That is feeling the cool breeze on the skin as I am on the beach. Who is creating and supporting all these thoughts and my speech? Pay attention to that. Pay attention to the One, the Supreme. That is my true nature.